The two stories I want to anchor this segment around both come from Europe, and both touch on the same underlying tension: the desire of governments and institutions to monitor behavior for stated safety reasons versus the privacy and civil liberties implications of that monitoring. The EU driver monitoring camera mandate and the chat control legislation are very different in their specifics, but part of the same regulatory moment.
Let's start with the driver monitoring cameras, because the comment thread, 847 comments, the highest engagement of any story today, tells you this hit a nerve across political and technical communities simultaneously. Starting now, every new car sold in the European Union must include a camera system that monitors the driver for signs of distraction or impairment. The system is framed as a road safety measure.
The safety case is real. Distraction-related accidents account for a meaningful share of road fatalities across the EU. Camera-based driver monitoring systems, when they work well, can detect microsleep, phone use, and attention drift before an accident occurs. Several premium vehicles have had these systems for years as optional or standard features, and the data from those deployments suggests genuine safety benefits.
But the HN community's concern is not about the in-car safety function. It's about the data generated by a camera that is continuously monitoring your face while you drive. Who has access to that footage? Under what circumstances can it be subpoenaed? Can insurance companies eventually require access as a condition of coverage? Can law enforcement use it retroactively? These questions are not answered by the mandate itself.
The GDPR provides some framework here, but "some framework" is doing a lot of work in that sentence. The GDPR was not designed with continuous biometric monitoring systems embedded in vehicles in mind. There are legitimate questions about whether the data minimization principles the regulation requires are compatible with the operational reality of how these systems will be implemented by dozens of different manufacturers with different data architectures.
What I find particularly worth examining is the precedent-setting dimension. Once in-cabin cameras are standard equipment, meaning they exist in every vehicle, the question shifts from "should we deploy monitoring" to "under what circumstances should existing monitoring be used?" That's a much harder political conversation to have because the infrastructure already exists. Europe has navigated this before with CCTV proliferation, and the lesson from that history is that the initial stated purpose rarely remains the only use case.
Now to chat control, which scored 698 points and generated 281 comments, the second highest engagement today. The fightchatcontrol.eu site published a comprehensive explainer on both Chat Control 1.0 and 2.0, the EU legislative proposals that would require messaging platforms to scan private communications for child sexual abuse material, or CSAM. The proposals have been circulating for years in various forms, and the explainer is doing the work of making the technical implications accessible to a broader audience.
This is worth explaining carefully because the framing matters enormously. Chat control is presented as a child protection measure, and nobody is arguing that CSAM distribution is acceptable. The technical and civil liberties objection is specifically about the mechanism proposed, client-side scanning. Under the proposed framework, your device, your phone or computer, would scan your messages before they're encrypted and report suspected CSAM to authorities.
The reason cryptographers and security engineers have been uniformly opposed to this is that client-side scanning, as a technical architecture, cannot be limited to its stated purpose. If you build a scanning system that runs on the device before encryption, you have built infrastructure that could be directed to scan for any content, political speech, journalist sources, activist communications, by whoever controls the scanning database or the policy criteria.
Chat Control 2.0 attempted to address some of the version 1.0 criticism by introducing what it calls upload moderation, which is slightly different in implementation but preserves the core mechanism. The cryptographic community's position, and I think it's technically sound, is that there is no such thing as a backdoor that only the good guys can use. The exploit surface exists regardless of the stated policy intent.
This is where I want to add some business and political context. The EU has genuine leverage over global platform companies in a way that, say, a domestic US legislative push does not. If the EU passes chat control in a form that requires platform compliance, companies like Apple, Meta, and Google face a choice between restructuring their encryption architectures globally, maintaining separate EU-specific implementations, or exiting those markets. None of those options are simple. Apple's position on end-to-end encryption, for instance, has been stated publicly as near absolute. Their opposition to exactly this kind of scanning is documented going back years.
And here's where I'd bring in the curriculum corner context. Because chat control is actually a useful lens for understanding how competition and regulatory law interact. The platforms being targeted here, Apple, Google, Meta, are periodically subject to antitrust scrutiny in Europe precisely because of their market dominance. The Sherman Act in the US and its European equivalents define monopoly not just by market share, but by the ability to harm consumers or competitors through that share. Simply having 80% of a market isn't illegal. What matters is how that position is used. The EU's Digital Markets Act treats these companies as gatekeepers with specific obligations, and chat control compliance requirements would hit those same gatekeepers hardest. So you have a situation where antitrust law simultaneously constrains what these companies can do commercially and what they can refuse to do when governments demand technical changes. It's a genuinely complex intersection of regulatory frameworks that are evolving faster than they're being coordinated.
The 281 comment HN thread was notable for how technically specific the criticism got. Multiple engineers with cryptographic backgrounds laid out in precise terms why the detection without decryption framing that chat control proponents use is misleading. The education value of that thread alone is substantial.